Welcome to Maxed Out Man, helping you become the man you were made to be.
Hey guys, it's Kevin Davis from the Maxed Out Man podcast. I am here with my good friend Chad Zonnie today. Chad's a visionary leader, founded and led multiple successful ventures, included Easy ATM Limited and Envy, an on-demand car wash service with a unique socioeconomic and environmental focus. His skills encompass all aspects of sales and marketing, from developing innovative social media driven strategies to implementing robust local area marketing initiatives. He's particularly drawn to helping entrepreneurs like me and organizations that stand for something beyond their product or service delivery. His commitment extends to providing ongoing membership, sales, and marketing advice to startups and emerging brands, and actively participating in capital raising. Chad and I got an opportunity to meet a couple weeks ago at a trade show, automotive trade show, and it was like an instant connection. I thought we had a he came to the booth that I was working in, and we just struck up a great conversation. That was amazing. I do want to say, if you need information about Maxed Out Man, go to maxedoutman.com. Follow us on all social medias at Maxed Out Man. And of course, you can find other episodes of this podcast on any of the podcast platforms. We are currently about to launch our case study coaching program, doing the first kickoff call tonight, which will be probably a month from the time that you listen to this. So go to maxedoutman.com and check out what we've got going on there. But hey, Chad, thank you very much. Thanks for letting me pay some bills there. But thanks for joining me, man. This is awesome. I'm so excited to have you on. You and I have talked every day probably for the last week and a half. And full disclosure, Chad has volunteered to help me grow not only Maxed Out Man, which, you know, it's a thing that helps men, but it's also a business. And I've said on this podcast, I have a bunch of other brands that Chad is going to assist me with. And dude, it's already making the difference. I appreciate that. I appreciate you coming on.
No, listen, thanks, man. I think I need to work on my bio. It kind of put me to sleep a little bit, but I really enjoyed everything that we've done so far and attended that event and spoke to a bunch of people. But yeah, I think once we kind of like leaned into each other a little bit, we've sort of found that there's enough commonality, and it's actually kind of how we met and how we're doing business is actually, it kind of leans into a conversation about trust, right? And like, I met you and within moments I trusted you. I trusted in what you were saying. You know, I think when you shake a man's hand or shake a person's hand and look them in the eye, your gut gives you a vibe, and I am far more attuned to that today than I have probably ever been, and there's been numerous studies about the fact that there are so many microorganisms inside of our stomach that the gut feeling that we get is actually scientifically backed, because our microbiomes inside of us actually understand or can relate to the microbiomes inside of you. So you get that gut feeling and you should listen to it. And I had some other manifestation that day with, like, you know, goosebumps and whatever else. So, you know, I'm all for helping you, and I'm all for, really, my thing that I love right now is obviously helping business people, right? So
yeah.
I think it's pretty natural as an entrepreneur is that you have some success. Some people go down that path of like domination and taking on the world, and other people kind of pivot and start going, well, you know, I'm doing okay. Who can I help? And then you get to your 60s and 70s and you start thinking about your legacy.
Yep.
And I think that, you know, for me, I've always had this passion for helping business people, right? And I know where it comes from. You know, my parents were business people. My dad started his own business, and then they evolved and bought a retail business, which was a passion project for them. Sadly, it didn't work out, and when that went down, they ended up sort of losing their home and losing their holiday home, which I'd grown up in and really had the most amazing childhood in. And so for me, I've seen the impacts of failing businesses, and you know, the family never really recovers, or if they recover, there's still that kind of bad blood there or whatever else. And sadly, when businesses fail, relationships fail, marriages fail, families fail, and it has generational impact. So, you know, there's so much stress that comes around starting a business, and if I can have a positive impact on someone's journey, well, then that's what I'm all about. And that's what I got from talking to you, is that, you know, you want to help business, but you want to help the man, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And, you know, as sexist as that may sound, I don't really care, right? Like I grew up with very strong male role models and even stronger female role models. I'm still scared of my mom, you know, and my nan was a beast, right? Like, she served her country, you know, her husband was killed on duty. She raised her children, and I love my nan, and I still love my nan. And, you know, but I was taught bad things happen when good men do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And that has resonated with me my entire life. So, yeah, I think, you know, the success I've had and, you know, the ability to be a little introspective has really created this whole thing around, you know, why was I successful and, you know, how have I been successful? And, you know, I don't know where you want to start this, but like, and I also don't want to like talk too much, because I hate when I'm sort of.
No, at the risk of going through the litany of your successes, I think one of there's a lot of entrepreneurs and small business people that do this. And when we had our conversation, and, you know, I love to learn from other entrepreneurs, and
me,
you know, I'm one of these entrepreneurs that like, I'm serial entrepreneur, right? I've got way too many businesses. It diverts my time. And I'm always kind of like this close to that major success, right? Yeah. And so I'm always looking for information, resources, and especially people to take me to that next level. And I'm super excited, because each one of those pieces, it's not just tied up to one person, right? But it's those pieces of advice and that guidance that is like, hey, just do this, take this tweak, let's work and align together. But like I said, at the risk of going through your accomplishments, can you just lay out a little bit of those kind of business things that have happened to you?
Look, I'll try and do like maybe just a quick, I would say like a 5-minute summary, right? So, and listen, that thing you just said about getting people to help you, I've got a phrase for that. That's a trust network.
Mm.
Right? You've built a network of people that you trust, and they impart like knowledge on you. And you will only get as big as your trust network allows you to.
And in turn, I you know, I've been getting these testimonials from different people, and not to overshadow what you're saying, but I got this one from this probably 25, 26 year old kid that I uploaded yesterday.
Yeah.
Completely unexpected. And it was based on a conversation I had with him and his business partner at that trade show, right? He was, you know, he's kind of, I couldn't believe we had this conversation. It really made an impact and all that. And I'm like, awesome. Cause you and I had a conversation that I'm able to have a conversation with that next generation of small business owners. But that trust network, you know, I have a lot of people in my network that are like that, for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, and I think that's a key learning, is that, you know, I always say, if you don't have a good trust network, you'll eventually lose, right? Mm-hmm. Like, someone will come in and they'll steal from you, or they'll take from you, or you'll get advice from the wrong person, and it'll cost you. And in life, we only learn lessons when we lose.
Mm-hmm.
We don't learn lessons when we win. We learn lessons when we lose. So just kind of going back to like how I got started, you know, I finished high school. I did very well at school. I found it boring. All I cared about was playing sport. My grandfather was a sportsman, as we would probably call it. My dad was a talented sportsman. I had family members that were playing professional sport when that wasn't really a thing. So me, it was all about sport. Finished high school. My dad got sick. And so I just had to get a job.
Mm.
So started my first full-time job at 18, which was straight out of high school. And I got into sales because I just kind of fell into it. I had developed a passion for like car audio, which I think a lot of 17-year-old, 18-year-olds were into that.
I had the first commercial CD player in my Jeep and this would have been in like 1991. So much so they only came with preamps. Like they didn't have built-in amps because they were only used in the professional audio market.
Listen, strangely enough, I know exactly what you're talking about. So I'm 49. I just turned 49 a couple of weeks ago. And so 1992, graduate high school. 1993, get a job. Mm-hmm. So I had already been going to this shop and doing out my grandfather, who was killed on duty as a police officer, when they kicked my nan out of the police station 10 days later with two small children, they gave her his car, which was a 1969 Ford Falcon wagon. And that ended up being given to me, which was such a blessing. And so I'd been putting, I'd done a spare 6-inch speakers in the front, tweeters. I had an Alpine 10 stack disc player because I was a surfer and I was doing these long drives to get to Margaret River. It's a 3-hour drive. And I'd put my 10 CDs in and just, and the drive seemed like nothing. I love driving. I'm a car guy. So either way, I'd been buying a lot of stuff from this store. And I remember walking up to the guy, and I haven't even thought about this man in 30 years, but his name was Chris. I'll remember his surname in a minute. Anyway, I said to Chris, I need a job. My dad's sick. And he was like, well, and I had like facial hair and I had dreadlocks from surfing, like really gross hair. And he was like, get a haircut, shave your face and come in tomorrow. And I was like, all right. So I did that, cut all my hair off, looked presentable. And he was like, you're going to work for free for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, and at the end of that, I'll let you know. Well, anyway, 2 weeks later, I outsold everyone else on the floor, gave me a job. The company was called Strathfield Car Radios. And they blew up. They were massive. They were the biggest brand of their kind where you went and you got car stereo stuff. And then they got into mobile phones.
Mm-hmm.
So you went there for car stereo stuff and mobile phones, and then they expanded into some other product lines, which didn't really work for them. But I just kicked ass, and it was because I had a passion for it, right? And that was one of my first lessons, is that sales is a transfer of passion,
mm-hmm.
And I still believe that. So you can't sell me something that you're not passionate about. Which is why when you can actually work in a field you're passionate about, it doesn't feel like work.
Right.
It explains that, right?
Yeah.
So I did that very quickly. They promoted me to a store manager. I moved and took over a failing store. That store blew up, and then they put me back into the head office store. And I loved it. I loved every minute of it. But I wasn't making as much money as I could have. I was working in retail. I was still making enough money to do what I had to do with the family. And then I got into finance. I bought a house at 19.
Nice.
So I bought a house because I was making good money. I recently sold that house, which was a different story. So bought that house. And in the process of buying that house, I learned about lines of credit. Right. And like, why have a normal mortgage? Put all your expenses on your credit card, pay off your credit card once a month and put maximum cash into your mortgage. And I started telling people about this and I realized there was a business in that. So I started doing this. I would literally sit down with people twice my age and restructure their finances. And then in the process of doing that, I found out how expensive it was for a business to accept a credit card, mm-hmm. merchant fees.
Yeah.
And I was like, I audited a large tire shop that was doing $1 million a year on credit cards, and he was paying 4%. And I just audited a little Chinese restaurant that was paying 1%. And I was like, what's going on here? I got my hands on the paperwork, and the manager had just written in the different rates. I was like, well, this is a scam.
Yeah.
This is a scam. I'm going to fix this. And that's when I launched you know, Easy POS. It was in Australia, swiping a credit card was kind of called EFT POS, electronic funds transferred at point of sale. And we shortened it to EFT POS. So I launched a business. It was called Easy POS, EFT POS Made Easy. That was the brand. I should have trademarked the Made Easy phrase. I'd be a millionaire. So, you know, and that business existed before Google, before Meta, and I developed a way of selling it door to door. I literally would walk into people's businesses, ask them a very simple question, and that was, are you happy with your bank fees? Well, over 80% said no. And that'd be, and then like I learned over time to say, well, are you going to do something about that?
Mm.
Because people want to piss and moan about stuff but not take action. So I'm happy to give away this. I learned about the preemptive sale at like 21, 22. So I would walk into your store, Kevin, and I'd say, g'day, my name's Chad. I'm here to reduce your bank fees. Are you happy with your bank fees? And you would give me one of three answers. And depending on those answers, I knew whether we were going to do business or not. And then at the point where you said yes, you were willing to take action, I would ask you, how much money do you need to save, Kev, for you to actually sign up with me and get rid of the bank that's been ripping you off? And you would give me a number and I'd be like, shake on it.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't shake my hand, I knew you weren't serious. If you didn't shake my hand, I left the building.
Because that's the commitment. That's the commitment.
Preemptive sale. I didn't even know how much you were doing. I didn't know what your fees were. But if we couldn't have a conversation about how much the banks suck, right? And I hate banks. Like, I hate banks. So how much the banks suck? How much would I have to save you for you to get rid of that stupid machine that's costing you too much? Then I just left. And I learned that through that process, I learned there's three types of people. There's the never evers that'll never ever do business with you.
Mm-hmm.
So just learn to identify them and move on, right? Because it'll steal your soul. There's the wishy-washy people who literally, mate, you might close them, you may not, you know. They've probably been with their bank 5-10 years. And then there was the desperates who literally had just got a bill in the mail and like were pissed off. And they signed there and then on the spot, right? And I was making about $1,000 a sale. So it mattered. It mattered, right? And that was my first business. And like it took off, right? I taught my friends how to sell this way. And you know, when you think about it, it was trust-based selling. Walk in, trust. Shake hand, trust. It works, right? And ATMs was the next business, and an automatic teller machine is just a big credit card machine, except you put the cash inside it and it dispenses money. And that $2, $3, $4 that you pay is my revenue as the owner of the ATM. And I used to share that revenue with the location. And like I did really well. I started putting ATMs on mine sites. I started putting them into little supermarkets and shopping centers. And before you know it, was making a lot of money. And then we took that company public in 2011. And, you know, we had about 2,000 ATMs at the end of the day doing almost $20 million in revenue. And ATMs are great employees. They don't get pregnant. They don't do drugs. So they're great employees. And both doing the credit card stuff or the merchant facilities and doing ATMs, no one else was doing it. And I've always loved doing stuff that no one else does, right? It's fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, blue ocean theory kind of stuff. So those two businesses is kind of what I did in Australia. During that time, I'm a car guy. So I was looking for the best car products that I could find. And I came across the chemical guys that were made in Los Angeles. And I reached out to them at some point and said, hey, I want to bring your products to Australia. And David, who is Czech, one of the founders, was like, Austria? I'm like, no, dude, Australia. So I started bringing their chemicals down to Australia and I formed a friendship with them. And then, you know, some not so great stuff happened in my life. And I found myself wanting to evolve and move on and start a new life. And I made the decision to start that new life in America. So in 2015, I moved to the US, and began working with the chemical guys on this concept that you shared in the intro about Envy, which was literally like, you know, Uber for detailing, grab your phone, press a button, and someone will come and clean the vehicle using their chemicals. And you can clean a vehicle without using water. Like, it's what we do in Australia. There are places in Australia where you can't even wash a car with water because water's so scarce. So I'd already been doing that for a while. I'd helped them develop a product that was better than what they had. I should have put a copyright on that. I didn't. So moved to the US, did that project for 2 years, and the pivot in that project was like, you know, what's a part of society that I could impact? And then that's how I found the deaf community, right? So deaf unemployment in America is over 90%. You know, if you have a deaf child, they pretty much say you're going to be supporting that child for the rest of your life, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, well, if you're deaf, you know, just means you can't hear, but, you know, deaf people do this, so they have good hands and they need their eyes to see, so they have good eyesight. Now, if I was to ask you, Kevin, what are the two traits of a good car detailer? What would you want them to have?
Detail-oriented eyes and good hands.
You just described every deaf person in America.
By the way, side note, my daughter is single-sided deaf.
What does that
mean? Ironic. It means that she's deaf in one ear.
Oh.
So she's big into the deaf community, which is ironic because you and I haven't had this conversation yet, but that's super cool. So keep going.
Yeah. So I made the decision that, you know, the app allowed the detailer and the client to communicate, which facilitated the deaf people.
Mm-hmm.
We put the ASL symbol on our shirts of our employees. And even to this day, I still communicate with some of those kids that worked with me. They've all now had children, and I love seeing their journey on social media. But yeah, so we had this cool app where you press a button, the guy comes and details your ride. We got an article on ABC, a news story on ABC7. But we just couldn't raise money. No one gave a shit about employing deaf people. No one gave a shit about saving water, right? And in the time that we couldn't raise money, like a on-demand dry cleaning service raised $26 million, tipped it all down the toilet and lost everybody's money. Like, I think we raised like 700 grand, and I made that last 2 years. So, you know, but the seed investor took control of the business, and sadly it all kind of petered away in 2017, but that's when I'd already started doing the detail garage thing. So the chemical guys, you know, were giving us the chemicals for the detailing thing, and during that time they had one store, then they opened another store and another store, and they'd started franchising, and I needed a visa. So I was like, they were like, well, we'll sponsor you for 2 more years, but we don't want you to do Envy. We want you to help us blow up this franchise. And that's how Detail Garage happened. So, you know, it was an amazing experience for me. They literally threw me the keys, and I did everything. The only way I know to help anyone is to put a hat on, and God gave me the ability to put a hat on, and I can think like a business owner.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a restaurant or a day spa or a hotel or a franchise that had never existed before. So in May 2017, after I was deported, I'll tell you the story another time. I should have just jumped the fence. Would have been easier. So, you know, I came back into the country on my second visa and got to work on growing Detail Garage. So, cut a long story short, you know, in less than 30 months, I took this brand from one failing franchise and one good store and two not so good stores doing less than $2 million. Within 30 months, we hit $42 million.
Nice.
And that was a combination of choosing the right software for the point of sale, choosing the right marketing system, completely re-engineering how we greeted people. And I brought in the Australian handshake. So when you walked into a Detail Garage, you got a high energy greeting. Like, g'day, welcome to Detail Garage. That's obviously what I said. Americans would be like, hi, right? But anyway, hi, welcome to Detail Garage. My name's Chad. Walk over, put your hand out, and get a handshake. That's the welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And that resulted in a net promoter score of over 70, which is just unheard of, right? So I developed all of that, and I did all the marketing to find the franchisees. I signed up every single franchisee myself. I really was across everything, and I loved every minute of it because I'm a car guy, right? So, and then I was also creating an amazing business opportunity, which I'm passionate about, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm passionate about cars. I'm passionate about small business. So Detail Garage was just, you know, I talk about, you know, in business, if you like what you're doing, you know, you have one spine, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're really passionate about it, you kind of have like, oh, I have my spine that I got from God, and then I have my passion spine. And then if you can link a charity to it, you get a third spine, right? So, but either way, I was just really operating in my passion place, and I traveled 200 days a year. I didn't care. I loved it. I loved every second of it. And the brand exploded, right? Like it just, I don't want to say it was easy because it wasn't easy, but
systems, right? Systems make it easy, right?
Yeah. And easier. Look, we didn't have the right, like everybody, we sold franchises to the wrong people at the beginning, you know, like, hey, you got money, write us a check, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the program, we had personality profile, aptitude test, right? Financial, you know, you had to prove you had the finances, and then you could come to Los Angeles and hang out with me.
Right? Okay. Yeah.
And during that discovery day, if you started saying dumb shit, I would pull over and say, would you like to hop out right now? Right? I'd be like, people would be like, yeah, we want to put in a lounge chair and sell coffee. And I'd be like, no, we have a franchise that works, right? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people misunderstand franchising, right?
I don't know any, you know, I know very little, just cursory information. If I'm a guy that's listening to this or a woman that's listening to this, can you just do the quick 101 on franchising? I mean, we know like, I know like Chick-fil-A's model, which is obviously very successful.
You know what? I stole as much from Chick-fil-A as I could.
Mm-hmm.
So, but first of all, franchising is a license to operate a business that has proven to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
That is my definition of a franchise. Now, if you're buying a franchise and they can't show you someone who's doing that successfully, run the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you know, most times the franchisor might have had one store, or they might have had some kind of background in this, and so they've chosen to franchise. But yeah, I mean, franchising is the right to operate a business. And then the idea is that you supply human capital, you supply effort and passion, and you become successful because you're following a preset formulaic process that is meant to work. Sadly, in America, there's a lot of franchisors who are full of shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they franchise because they're broke, and they're broke because their model doesn't work. And then they do these fancy contracts with fancy agreements. And then they pay brokers drug money to sell their franchise concept to unsuspecting victims. And then we get these concepts that should never have made it past go.
Yeah.
And then they unravel, right? So, you know, but franchising is still the most successful way of operating a business in this country. You know, franchises fail less than a normal business. And again, why? Because there's meant to be a system in place and whatever else. So,
because your licensing success really is more or less what you're,
that's what it's meant to be, Kevin. That's what it's meant to be, right? But, you know, not everybody operates with honesty and integrity and whatever else. So,
yeah.
But yeah, anybody who is looking at buying into a franchise, my best advice is speak to existing franchisees, right? And don't speak to the franchisees that head office gives you.
Right, yeah.
Okay, I promise you this. The franchisor is only going to give you franchisees that speak positively.
Mm-hmm.
And are you, you know, do you trust them enough? So my advice is you ring as many franchises as you can and you ask them, how is it? Right? And you tell them, I'm about to put my entire life savings into this. Please just let me know if I'm doing the right thing or wrong thing.
Yeah.
And there are a few franchises on this in this country right now that would fail if people did that.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, at the end of the day, do your own homework, right?
Yeah, yeah.
A fool and their money are easily parted.
Yeah, make sure you know what you're getting into. But then again, that's back to your trust, you know, your trust network, right? Like you're literally reaching out to people who you don't know, but you are trusting them because they already have the knowledge and experience of the thing that you're trying to learn about.
Yeah. And they're already 1 year, 2 years, 5 years into the journey you're about to take.
Yeah.
So you'd be mad. You'd be mad not to do this, right?
Yeah.
And look, I'm helping 1, 2, 3, 4 people right now launch franchise models. And you know, some of them are launching stuff that they haven't done, but like they have like a wholesaling business and they want to retail because they're selling wholesale product to retailers who are succeeding.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes, you know, you might buy a franchise that doesn't have a real world working example, but then those franchisors should also make that franchise opportunity very cheap.
Yeah. Is there a process in which they say, okay, so I've got a bunch of brands. I think one of those brands could possibly be a franchise.
Yeah.
How does that work? Right. Cause like you and I are working together. I actually have 9 different brands, which, you know, there's probably 3 or 4 of them that are successful. And yeah, always can be way more successful. I don't know. I don't think any of them really maybe franchisor model, but how would you walk through that?
Well, I think for me, it's a matter of understanding that people have a misconception of what is business, what is a business, right? You either have an e-commerce business where you are selling to the world, or you have a local business, right? And I call that, I actually kind of coined a phrase around this, like village marketing,
right?
So if you own a restaurant, you are selling to your village.
Mm-hmm.
If you get really good at it, people will come from outside of your village to eat at your restaurant. But you should really focus on that 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 mile radius around your business, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think people like mess up and they jump on Facebook and they run ads to a 50 mile radius and 80% of their budget is spent on people who are never going to come to them anyway because they're too far away.
I comment on those businesses. Like I'll get, you know, I'm in Bozeman, Montana. I'll get something that's from Billings, which is 100 miles from here. Yeah. And there's 6 inches of snow on the ground right now. So I'll comment. I'm like, dude, look at your targeting. I'm in Bozeman. I'm not coming to your place of business.
So in 2024 and in the next 10 years, I mean, I think the stuff that you and I are talking about to the Maxed Out Man community and whatever else, I mean, I would love to help 100, 200, 500, 1,000 people franchise their idea, right? And, you know, as long as it's being done with the right intention and the right process, it'll be successful because ultimately nothing feels as good as teaching a man to fish.
Yeah, right.
Right? So if we can create something that a person can use to provide for their family in an ongoing sustainable basis, well, that's God's work.
Yeah.
The problem is too many people abuse that system. So, you know, my intention is to do this a lot. That's why right now I'm working on like 4 or 5 different franchise concepts where they've either got a store open or are in the evolutionary phase of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my rules are keep the franchise fees low. We're not here to make money off the franchise fee. If that's your model, like I want nothing to do with you.
Right.
Right? Keep the ongoing fees low, right? As long as it's sustainable and you can get enough money in to provide the support, then you shouldn't have a 15% franchise fee if you can get by with a 3% franchise fee.
Yeah, because the more money you take off the top, the less opportunity that business has to grow and succeed, right? Yeah,
and finally, if the franchisor doesn't know how to grow the local store, they have no business franchise.
Right.
And that's where a lot of them fall down, right, is that they don't have robust or diverse marketing strategies, and their franchisees end up, you know, look at the economy we're in now, right? In the last decade, it hasn't been as hard to be in business as it is today.
Right.
Uh-huh. Right? Like America, like I came to America in 2015 and it was on fire, right? And then Trump got in and it was really on fire, and then we had a pandemic and then it all kind of fell apart, right? And then the reason we're in hyperinflation right now is that global governments printed ridiculous amounts of money to deal with a disease that wasn't real anyway. And so when you print money and don't improve infrastructure, like new bridges, new airports, you know, new this, new that, you get inflation.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to turn this into an economics lesson, but the only thing that causes inflation is governments printing money.
Mm-hmm.
And you can research that, right? So, you know, like, it's a tough time right now, right? Everything's gone up. So consumer behavior is being suppressed, and buying is being suppressed. And for a lot of people, they've never dealt with this.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have a diverse marketing strategy, it's not as tough as other people. If you had one strategy that was working and that strategy has been impacted by this Ridenwood Biden economy, like, you're in trouble and mm-hmm. you're not having a fun time. And so, you know, when I start mentoring people or consulting to people, I look at their strategy and I think about, you know, like I'm sitting on my dining table, right? If it had one leg, it's not a table.
Right.
Right? If it has two legs, it's a lean-to,
mm-hmm.
right? So a table exists with four legs, and a six-leg table is more stable than a four-leg table. And I say to people, how many legs are under your business? Each marketing strategy is a leg.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, if today you have at least eight strategies to grow your business, you're probably doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
If you have one or two, you're in trouble. You're hurting.
Yeah.
So, you know, and so does that help?
Yeah, and that's what you beat me up on, right? The first time. You're like, this is terrible. You need to fix this, right? And which is, for me, that works really well.
Yeah.
You know, but it's so easy as a business owner to get hyper focused and to believe that what you're doing would work better if you just tried harder at that thing.
Yeah. And look, I wrote a book over a decade ago, and I'll send it to you so you can send it to your listeners, because it's not something I sell.
Mm.
And it talks about business is a game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, it's a game, right? Yeah. And part of a game is that it's a team. So if you're a sole trader, right, then that means you're the owner of the team. And let's think mm-hmm. about it in terms of a sporting team, right? You're the Robert Kraft, you're the Bill Belichick, you're the Tom Brady. That's why you're so goddamn tired, right? You're also the players, right? You're the support team, okay?
Water boy.
You name it, you're everything, right? But I love this mindset for myself, and it's what I wrote about in the book, is that business is a game, get in the game. That's the name of the book. Chad Zanny, business, get in the game. I'll email mm-hmm. it to you. You can share it, right?
Great.
And so inside of that, you are the captain, the coach, or the coach, the captain, and the whole team. And then they're not customers. They're supporters,
mm-hmm.
right? Think of them as supporters, right? Because they're supporting you, and might be your family at first. It might be your friends, and then it's your community. But if you think of them as customers, I think you're missing the point, right? And so the book used to talk about, or the book talks about, you're the captain, you know, you're the coach, the captain, the team, and they're your supporters, but you need to make them raving fans.
Mm-hmm.
Now, like, example, who's your team? Who do you barrack for?
You mean like sports teams?
Yeah. Who do you support?
I mean, I'm not huge into sports, but let's say Oklahoma State Cowboys.
All right. So a lot of Americans really support their college team more so than their professional team.
Yeah. Because I have a deep connection, right? Like I, when I was in college, Barry Sanders was in playing for that team, Thurman Thomas and all these other, you know, Barry Sanders is the main guy, but like, you so notice, I have an emotional connection to that.
Yeah. You notice I didn't say who do you support in the NFL, NBA or whatever else, because in America, college sport has greater support than national sport. Sorry. So, and I would define a supporter as someone who, like, you know, follows the team.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a fan buys the merch.
Right.
Has the hat, has the shirt, buys a new shirt every year. Right? A raving fan puts the stickers on their cars, has the flags. Like, their child is born and the first photo is in the team's colors.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So take that concept and think about how we can apply it to business.
Yeah.
And the thing that has struck me in this country is the lack of referral programs.
Mm-hmm. We talk about this on my other podcast all the time. And in business meetings, it's like, are you asking for that, right?
No, no one does. I can tell you, whether people understand it or not, the greatest referral program in the history of recent corporate America is Uber.
Mm, right.
You downloaded the Uber app, and if a friend told you to, you got a $20 credit.
Mm-hmm.
And if I sent it to you, I got a $20 credit. It's called a referral program.
Yeah.
So Uber exploded with little to no marketing spend, but a viral sharing, referral, affiliate, whatever you want to call it, but they blew up from that. So, you know, and here's the crazy thing, right? Like, I've shared my thoughts around social media. As a human, I hate it. As a parent, I hate it. As a business guy, it is the greatest gift to us. Right?
Right.
So I open up my phone right now and I just go into my Facebook and I have 1,300 followers. So if you do business with me and I like you, I might post something about you. Might. That's shit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you tell me or ask me to support you in a more proactive way, the best thing I can get, or the best thing you could get, would be to get for me to go live on my social media and talk about you.
Yeah.
Now, let's analyze why. Because when I go live, my friends get a live notification that I'm live. They also get a notification that I was live.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And like, that content is me telling my friends, you're trustworthy. Super powerful. Yet in the entire time I've been in America, no one's asked me to do it. I've asked plenty of people to do it for me.
Yeah.
I've asked franchisees to do it for me. I've asked my clients to do it for me. I asked you to do it for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, I asked you to do a video for me, which I'm using on my website. But, you know, the extension of that is having that video posted on your social media. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you want to blow up a business, understand that your customer is standing in front of you, but they've got 500 friends on social media or 1,000 friends standing behind them, which up until this moment in human history, you couldn't really touch them.
Right.
But now we can.
Mm-hmm.
And this has created, obviously, the world of influencers, micro-influencers, macro-influencers, whatever else. So, you know, it always – one of the first things I do when I consult to a business is I say, "What? Tell me the referral program." And I get, what?
Right.
And so that – honestly, it's almost like – it's like stealing candy from a baby, right? Like, if I can come into a business and they don't have a referral program, that's the first thing I do.
Yeah.
Right? Because they've already got clients and we can leverage the clients, right? The second thing I do is I embrace social media. Mm-hmm. Right? Like I start using social media, but I don't do any of that until I do my trust audit and I audit them through the lens of, can I trust them? Can I trust their content? Is their content trustworthy? Are they trustworthy? Right? And that's really been like kind of my life's work, which is I've found a way of building trust with people by looking them in the eye, right? Like I know I'm looking at you on camera, but like looking them in the eye and connecting with them and shaking their hand elicits trust. And so, but like our websites don't do that, right? I have not audited a website in the last 5 years that scores above 10 out of 100 on trust, because all we do is talk about ourselves and this is our widget and this is who we are. Blah, blah. And like, I don't, as a visitor to your website, I don't know who you are.
True.
I don't know if you're trustworthy or some scumbag selling some garbage product. And the only way I can evolve out of that is by hearing from people who have walked ahead of me, walked a mile in my shoes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the way we do that in this digital age is through client content, which is now called the catchword is UGC, user generated content. And what it means is like, what are the users of our products saying about us? And so I do my trust audit, which takes me between like, you know, 1 day and 10 days, depending on how big the business is. I look at their online, offline content. I'll even listen to their messages on hold. And I'll be like, all right, everything you're saying is your words and none of it is your customers. So your trust score is zero. Congratulations. And this is why.
That was my trust score, by the way. I'll admit that.
This is why your conversion rate is low, is because you can't bring someone into your world and have them go, oh, I trust this company, I'll make a purchase. But when you can do that, right, when you can land someone on a website or a landing page or a click funnel and build trust, they'll make a purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And so trust is everything, right? And without it, we're lost.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that's what I'm really passionate about right now, is like just helping business people understand that, yeah, you might be a great guy, right? And you might be a great chef and you might be a great this or a great that, but unless you can have people who are saying that about you, then it's all for nothing. Yet our websites are full of, and the other thing is like, most of the websites I audit, they're all words. It's like, do you really think, I'm looking at the camera now, do you really think people are reading what's on your website?
No.
Like, are you that delusional?
Yeah.
Right? People consume now. If your website doesn't contain video and interaction where someone can sit there and consume it, then go to your web team and ask them what the average viewing time is on your website, and you're going to get the world's biggest wake-up call, because the average viewing time is probably under a minute. And if all your content is words, how much can they read about you in a minute?
Right.
And I'm so beyond frustrated when I talk to business owners and I ask them, right, what's your bounce rate? What's the average viewing time? And they don't know. Like, oh, we get a million visitors a month. I'm like, all right. And what's the average time they spend on your website?
Yeah, bounce rate of 97%, right?
Yeah, and they're like, oh, we get so many unique visitors. I'm like, cool. And how long do they spend on the website? And they don't know. And I tell them, right, the meeting's over. Go find out. And they come back at 13 seconds. Ah. Mm-hmm. So what can I learn in 13 seconds on your website? Nothing.
Right.
Nothing meaningful, nothing relevant. But anytime I've audited somebody and they have a video that plays when you hit their website, guess what their landing time is?
Whatever the, probably half of whatever the length of that video is.
Right? Well, yeah, 300 to 500% more than the websites, which are all words.
Right.
So, you know, because people consume now. They don't read, they consume. So, you know, I hope this is helping people. And
I think, you know, and
I don't mean to make people uncomfortable or upset, but like, if you are still stuck in the we sell the best widget, I'm here to tell you, you are delusional.
Yeah, if you're someone that believes in your business so much that you are unwilling to examine what's wrong with it, like I'm a great acceptor of critical, you know, of criticism, right? Yeah. Like you came in, we looked at the website while we were on a call and you're like, this sucks. You know, and to your credit, you were right. And so if you had gone to maxoutman.com 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, none of this would be in place. You scroll down, you see a picture of me whenever I did my last 12-week cut.
Yeah.
From when I was fat to when I'm not fat. And you said, hey, no one cares, first of all. And you also said that could be Photoshop. So no one trusts that anyway. And so like, I'm like, dude, that's totally right. So, and I will say another thing about what you're talking about that you said, hey, we need to have videos of people that have been impacted by you and Maxed Out Man, right? So we're a relatively young brand. So I don't have like hundreds of customers that can say, I did Maxed Out Man dot, you know, XYZ. However, I have been in business for 25 years. I have great influence in all the industries that I'm involved in. And I have tons of friends.
Yeah.
I reached out and I sent you the text of what I texted and messaged and all that. And I said, look, I'm trying to build my trust and credibility with Maxed Out Man. Would you be willing? What I said was, if I have had an impact on your life, business, family, et cetera, would you be willing to take and do a selfie style video for me?
Yeah.
60 seconds ish to a minute, whatever it needs to be, and send that to me. I sent out probably not including the post on Facebook. I probably asked 50 men because it's, you know, predominantly to men.
Yeah.
No one said no. Everyone has said yes. And I just did this like Friday. Today is within about 5 or 6 days. I've already got like 10 posted on my website, right? Like by the time you listen to this, hopefully I'll have 30, right? And all that to say, if you don't ask people, they will not tell you. And two things happened to me. First of all, I was like, this is awesome that I have friends willing to do this. Three things. This is awesome that they will take the time to do this. And this is awesome what they're saying, because it really proved to me that I am having an impact through the conversations, the knowledge, and the experience that I share. So it's all that to encourage, go do that.
Yeah. So A, you're welcome, right?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
B, it's the ultimate feedback.
Yeah.
Right? Now, and this is where this can evolve into like the conversation around man and marriage, right?
Yeah.
Like how often do we ask our partner, how are we?
Yeah.
Like, am I being the best version of myself for you? Am I giving you what you need in this relationship? And if more men did this, there'd be way less divorces, right?
Yeah.
And taking it back to the business, if you think you are really, I want to swear, but I won't. If you think you're all that in a hat, then you should have an abundance of people that are willing to say good things about you.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't get that, there's your wake-up call. If you don't get a flood of people sending you videos that you are the best at this and the best at that, well, then guess what? You're welcome. You suck. Mm-hmm. Get better, right?
Right.
But I would assume that you're doing a good job at whatever it is that you do, and your friends are going to support you, and it's going to help you with your trust score. And then that content should be what you use. Don't get that content and then keep using whatever else you use on social media. Use that content on your social media, because then you'll build trust immediately.
Yeah.
And you're in the beginnings of that journey. So,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, you know, like it's the best feedback. If you're a serious business person and you want to dominate whatever it is that you're doing, then this is the greatest feedback, because people are going to be like, well, listen, you know what, Kevin, mate, you just haven't had that much of an impact on me. I'm not willing to do the video.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to be like, holy shit, I thought we were mates and I thought we were good and I thought I had impacted you. So. But having met you, I know that you're going to, in a year from now, you're going to have 300, 500 videos. And Maxed Out Man is going to be a strong brand.
You know? To your point about the communication side of that, both in marriage and with friendships, if that's said to me, I'm not going to get my feelings hurt, maybe a little, but I'm going to say, what can I do? You know, what did I do or not do that makes you feel that way? And how can I have a bigger impact? Because, you know, all of what we do should be to have an impact on other people. I've said about Maxed Out Man, there's an altruistic, you know, kind of backbone to this, where I do want to help men be better, grow into their full potential, be who they are made to be. But, obviously we're trying to run a business as well. But that side of things is super important.
Well, I think, you know, it's hard to say things sometimes, but like I've always been a very independent human, and that has often translated to being selfish in terms of like, when everybody was going through peer pressure at school, I was like, well, no, I don't want to run around and draw on other people's property. Mm-hmm. So like, you guys are dicks. Like, go do your graffiti. Like, I think if you come down my street, I'll beat the shit out of you. So, you know, but like, I think sometimes as entrepreneurs, we're a little selfish in that we thought we knew better than our boss, so we become our own boss. And I think sometimes entrepreneurs struggle in their relationships, either with their friends or with their partners, because, you know, we're very obsessed with our idea and obsessed with our business. And, you know, like I'm, you know, on my second time round with trying to be a good husband and a good partner and all the rest of it. And, you know, at 49, I'd like to think I'm doing a better job than I was at 39, 29, and met my first, you know, I met my first wife at 19. So like, what kind of human was I at 19? Not a great one, right? Like, I was very committed to my sales job, and then I was very committed to my business. And I can still remember where I was the moment I was told I was going to be a father. And I was in a business meeting on the other side of the country. And like, I'm good friends with the person that was in that meeting, because it was like one of those life moments where I'm like, I'm in a meeting and I'm like, I just found out I'm going to be a dad. And like, it kind of like, it was just, you know, this guy was already a dad, and he was, you know, like, we kind of bonded over this and we had a friendship for the longest time. So, you know, like, kind of got a bit lost there, but I guess the point being is that, you know, like, I'm in this phase of my life where, you know, I really just want to be the best version of myself, you know, for myself, for my wife, for my friends, you know, for the companies I'm involved with. And, you know, like, you need people around you that are not nice.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And like, I think I shared this with you, right? Number one, my mum said, if you don't ask, you don't get. Right. You want to have a second serve of dinner, you got to ask, or else I'm going to scrape it in the bin, or I'm going to, your brothers are going to eat it all up. Right. So if you don't ask, you don't get. So, you know, all my life I've asked for referrals. I've asked my clients to give me five friends that I can go and talk to. So I've done this inherently. And I've always not been afraid of asking, right? So I think people are afraid to ask for referrals in case the person says no. Well, all right, well, that's fine. They said no, move on. And then, you know, like, as men, we sometimes, like, I don't understand women. I don't. But I don't want to understand them. I don't. I don't want to know what my wife's thinking. I don't want to know everything, because then that's no fun. There's no mystery. And yeah, I get frustrated sometimes when she's upset at something or says something that I don't want her to say. But I also love the fact that I don't know.
The bit of adventure, right?
Yeah. And like, I never want to understand women that much that they bore me. Like, I find them fascinating, right? Mm-hmm. And I find humans fascinating. I always wonder what people's motivations are. And like, I'm a student of psychology. And if you want to be a great salesperson, read some damn psychology books. One of my favorite ones is Questions Are the Answers by Barbara and Ellen Peace. It's actually a relationship book, but it's actually one of the best sales books ever, which is basically shut up, ask a great question, let the person answer, explore their answer. Whereas as men, like most of the time, men are talking to men. We're just waiting for our mate to shut up so we can say what we want to say. Perfect right. example, right? Like yeah. you've had an awesome weekend, right? You've had an awesome weekend. You bump into your mate. What do you say? You say, what'd you get up to? Why do you ask that question?
Because you want to tell them what you got up to.
You want to tell them what you did. Right? Now, when two guys play golf for 6 hours, right, I can come home from that and be like, my wife will be like, what'd you talk about? I'm like, golf. Right? Like, you know, whereas two women will sit in a cafe for 3 hours and talk about the most deep, meaningful, real shit. And that's why women have friendships like this.
Yeah.
Because they exchange information. They're great listeners, where most men literally, the only time men are good listeners is when they first meet their spouse. And I would challenge you to think back to the night you met your significant other, whether it was male, female, whatever, I don't care. But the night you met or the day you met your current spouse, partner, you were fascinated and you were a wonderful listener because you wanted to know every syllable that came out of their mouth, you were listening. And I would challenge you to like try and be like that more.
Yeah.
Right? And don't be that wanting to say something, right? Like sit back and like ask someone a question. And I learned the art of doing this some time ago where if someone fascinates me, it sometimes it can almost backfire. I've had people go, look, man, are you a fucking detective? Like, you know, like enough.
Yeah.
I would say to you, well, that's not bad because I'd rather somebody come away from meeting me and being like, wow, that guy asked me a lot of questions and be like, wow, that guy just didn't shut up about himself. What an egomaniac.
Yeah. And having that fascination is super important, especially with your wife. I had an experience yesterday. So we have workout equipment downstairs and it's actually divided into kind of two rooms, but you can see each room and what the other's doing. And so I had this experience yesterday where I was doing legs. My wife is doing shoulders or something. We're working out together and I look and I'm watching her work out and I'm just like, holy crap. My wife is amazing. Like she's hot. She's working really hard. She's pushing herself. She's had an injury in her shoulder. She's working through that. But it's this fascination that after 30 years together, I still have these moments to where I'm like, this is amazing. This is an amazing person, knowing everything I know about her. And I think a lot of men miss that, right? Like, you know, just having that. Cool.
We take it for granted, right? We take it for granted, right? And you know, I used to talk about in business the tyranny of sameness, right? So, like, there's very few times in life where your business is that unique that no one else is doing what you do.
Right, right.
And in the tyranny of sameness, price is normally the ultimate determinator between doing business with someone or not.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the way you differentiate yourself from that is you have an amazing trust system score and you can dominate regardless of how many people are in your industry. But when it comes to relationships, I think guys can take, you know, men can take the most amazing woman for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa, right? Like women can take amazing men for granted. And I think, you know, I think part of obviously, you know, the skincare line that we spoke about that we're bringing out, part of that is like taking the time each day to just be with each other and like, you know, take a close look at your partner while you're exfoliating them or putting a cream on their face and appreciate how they look. And like, if you've been together 30 years, like you grew those wrinkles together.
Right. 100%. Right?
Like you, you guys are in this moment in time together, and every wrinkle, every scar, every blemish, it's happened together. And I can tell you, you know, I can't wait to send you our first batch, right? Over the last almost 30 days now of testing and measuring different products, I mean, I'm looking at my wife, and we've been together 8 years, right? I'm looking at Angelina in a whole new way, because like I'm up close, right? I'm putting my glasses on. I'm making sure I can exfoliate her and whatever else. And like last night, it was, you know, Valentine's Day. You know, she did her yoga in the morning. She's at yoga now. And then we had a quick little lunch together, and then we went to dinner. And I remember sitting there last night, and I was just like, God, you're beautiful. You know, like you're really beautiful. And like, I must have said it in such a way that I hadn't said it before, because she got emotional. And like, I guarantee you that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't just been, you know, exfoliating her every day for a month. Right? Oh, not every day, because you don't need to do that every day. But anyway, the point being, you know, like I'm excited for this brand, and like I'm excited to create what I've just experienced for couples everywhere, which is the mission and vision behind that whole, you know, 30 forever, be the best version of yourself. And like, you know, I'm literally, I'm 49. I've spent $0.00 on skincare. Right? Like, I'm not the skincare guy. But, you know, having now 30 days in, I've had people say, you're looking really good, and you look fresh, and you look like a year ago, people were saying you look tired, you know, you look whatever. So, you know, who doesn't like a compliment here and there? And you know, I think as modern couples, where most households now, they both have to work to pay the bills. If you can just take that 10, 15 minutes at the beginning of the day or the end of the day to connect as a couple, I think it's really important. And I'm excited about that. And we're talking about putting like gratitude journals in every box, so couples can like just start recording what I love about my wife, or what I love about my husband, or what I appreciate out of them. And like that moment you had watching your wife work out, like it's a moment, right? And I felt that, you know, I felt your appreciation for her, and like the fact that she's working through an injury and that she's a badass, right? Like, in like one of the reasons we're hanging out is I envy the fact that you are 30 years into a relationship and still feel the way you do, right? Like, now, you know, my parents are still married, so I've got that example, but pretty much everywhere else in my life, I'm surrounded by people second time round, third time round, whatever. So, you know, my nan never remarried after my grandfather was killed. She was done, one and done.
That's that. I mean, you know, not morbidly, but Michelle and I talk about that. Like, I'm not, and I think I told you, like, I'm going to move to the Caribbean and take my two little wiener dogs and just go hang out. Right. Like, I'm not, I've had the one, right. Like, I've had, you know, there's no way she could. And, you know, and no disrespect to people that are the second time around and trying to make it work, and hopefully learning from some of the things that, you know, being went awry. But like, for me, like just one and done is such a blessing to me. Right.
Yeah. And look, I think, you know, but you've clearly like made that commitment, and, you know, you're an introspective type of person. I think that helps, you know, like I know through my life, I've been, you know, there's been times in my life where I haven't been introspective enough, and that hasn't served me. It hasn't benefited me. And, you know, especially when I'm in business creation mode, like I'm a lunatic. I only need to sleep for 2 to 3 hours a night, and I can have phases in my life where I will work on something 20 hours a day for a month, because I can.
Right?
And during that phase, I don't like any distractions. I can be pretty horrible. You know, and I used to be called grumpy, which I don't enjoy that tag, right? And I try not to be that guy.
But knowing that about yourself, that's where you have to say, okay, I'm going to take a, I'm not going to do 20. I'm going to do 14 or whatever it is to make sure that I still allow that time. And I think what you were describing earlier is really learning and studying. You're getting, and we call it, you know, getting your PhD, you know, pursuing her desires. That's our thing that
I've never heard that, but I love. Yeah,
so that we kind of came up with that during our last challenge, and it's this.
Have you trademarked that?
Not yet, but I probably should before this episode comes out.
You want to go to LegalZoom right now.
And but you, it's getting your PhD in your wife, in your spouse, like really learning. I should know more about my spouse than anything else I know in my life is my, you know, whether it's business or marketing or cars or whatever, like that should be, that knowledge base should be secondary to the amount of knowledge that I have about my spouse, right?
I have to say something right now, because like 4 or 5 days ago, my wife shared a story, because she grew up with a hippie mom that didn't let her eat anything, you know, processed and you know, no sweets, no candy, no nothing. She would come home from school and they would move to New Mexico. They would move to Kauai or Northern California or Central California. So she has real issues around being moving.
Mm-hmm.
But she shared her love of Cadbury cream eggs.
Mm.
And she never shared that before. So yesterday, Valentine's Day, I bought her Cadbury cream eggs, you know, nice. And it was, we had a moment where it was like, and she was like, you listened.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I did. I didn't just listen. I heard you,
mm-hmm.
you know, I heard you. And like, again, I don't think I would have even in the last 3 years of, you know, part of my story is that the Detail Garage brand has really kind of been torn apart and every store closure put me into a funky feeling and you know, I really haven't been the person on this podcast. I really haven't been the person on this podcast from August 2021 until November 2023, you know, and I just was so in my head. I'm really upset at myself for being like that. But I'm also like, well, it's just part of my journey, right?
Yeah.
And don't beat myself up too much, right? Just give yourself forgiveness for like how you've been, and then just commit to being the best version of yourself, and just take it a day at a time. And like that's the same with business, right? We can't fix everything that we need to fix. But if we commit to being a better business person today and having a better business today and having another testimonial today and looking at our marketing and analyzing it today. And, you know, what do they say? A great facelift is like 1%, 1%, 1%, 1%, right?
Yeah.
They don't go like 50%, right?
Unless you're in Hollywood and you've had like 50 procedures, and then you look like turn into Kenny Rogers in his later years.
The guy puts his knee on the back of your head and pulls it, right?
Right.
So, you know, like, I think if you just constantly commit to just, you know, being the best version of yourself, and like, I think that's what we need. And like, you 100% need to go and grab that PhD thing, because that is gold. I'm telling you right now, that's gold.
Yeah.
And you can do it on LegalZoom for like $400. It's not hard.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I love when you speak about your wife. Like, I love the way you are.
Mm.
You know, like when you talk about her, and like,
I mean, I get choked up still. Like, yeah. if you don't have that emotion for your spouse, you need to. There's a reason why, right? Like, it could be. And mostly it's, you know, it's a behavioral thing or it's a distance thing, but there's ways to fix that. And there's ways to work on that. And well, we've done the work. We've been to counseling like 6 or 7 times, not usually crisis counseling, but things that we've done, you know, that are just, as I call it, changing the oil in your marriage. Right.
Like that's one thing that has worked for us, and we're both second time round, right? Baggage.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I made the commitment that if she did anything I didn't like, and I gave her the same permission, tell me. Because over 8 years, that will drive you insane.
Right.
And you'll end up hating them because they're doing something. But then, you know, I also say to guys that are complaining about their partners, I'm like, well, listen, man, you chose them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you proposed to them, you married them. If you're upset with how she spends your money, you gave her the credit card. Like, come on. Like, look in the mirror, rockstar. and it's tough to say that, you know. But for me, baggage kills love, right? And have you ever heard of the Landmark Forum?
Mm-mm.
All right, so it's an interesting thing, but they talk about life in terms of glasses, right? So something happens to you, for example, you know, like in terms of like race, maybe you were 6 years old and you know, an African American guy like yelled at you and scared the shit out of you, right, or something like. You put the glasses on and you see all African American people through that lens.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, one cuts you off in traffic, another set of glasses. And before, you're no longer living in reality. You live through your lens, right?
Right.
So I think with our partners, you know, it's important to, like, if they're doing something that you don't like, don't allow it to happen, because it will eat you up. And so we came up with this thing of killing baggage, and we literally just say, hey, listen, I've got some baggage, right? Like, you just did something and I didn't like it. I didn't enjoy it. Can we talk about it, right? And I think I shared with you, like, when we hop in the car, my wife used to just grab her phone and look at her phone the whole time. And I'm like, I'm not your Uber driver.
Yeah.
Like, put it down. And then she goes, well, you drive like a lunatic.
So this is how I distract myself.
I distract myself. And I was like, well, if I have to slow down to have you put your phone down, deal.
Mm-hmm.
And when I want to drive like a lunatic, I now tell her, get your phone out.
I like it.
Right? She's like, I have times where, you know, like, I've driven us, you know, like, I'll jump. For me, Waze is a daily personal challenge. If it's meant to be a 2 hour drive, I'm like, well, it's 120 miles. I can do 80 miles an hour. I should be there in 90 minutes. Game on, Waze. Game on.
Yeah.
Challenge accepted. So, you know, like, yeah, there are times where I want to drive fast, and I will always drive fast, and I don't care. Like, it's my thing. I do it responsibly. I check my tire pressures. I know what my tires are capable of doing as a maximum speed. And you do this when you've raced cars before. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like, I do it as responsibly as I can. And at the end of the day, you know, like, this killing baggage is really important, because ultimately it'll drive you insane. And I know in my first relationship, like, there were things that I allowed her to do that I hated, and I just wasn't willing to have that fight. And so it just eventually, you know, there was just too many glasses in that relationship. There was just too much baggage, right? Mm-hmm. And it killed it.
Yeah.
And you know, I think that's the one thing I would say is, like, if your partner's doing something you're not enjoying, like, be a man and tell them. And, like, you know, maybe you've got to have some counseling around it to unpack it, but, like, don't keep allowing your partner to do something you don't love, right? Or you don't like. And you know, I think that's about all the relationship advice I should probably give, because I'm still a work in progress, right?
Yeah. I mean, I like that, though, and I like giving them permission to tell you the same thing. I mean, even after this many years together, Michelle and I will, you know, she will tell me something and I'll be like, well, I can fix that. And she was like, well, I just thought this was how it was. And I'm like, it doesn't have to be that way. Let me fix that and we'll improve on that particular area, you know. Yeah. And it's super easy, like, especially if you're someone, and I think entrepreneurs are like this, it's like, I'm just going to pivot and not do that anymore.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or at least work towards not doing it. Clearly it takes, you know, a lot of times it's not just a switch, but yeah, I think that's great marriage advice. I think that's actually a really good place to, as Mike Rose says, land the plane. You know, for part one, we'll definitely, you know, we're gonna have you involved a lot. So we'll definitely do more parts of this. But hey, if people want to learn more about Chad Zani, you told me just search for my name. There's only one, so that's good. But
yeah.
Tell us how we learn more about what you've got going on in terms of trust marketing and those kind of
things. Yeah. So look, you know, it's a brand new thing in terms of I've kind of given up on corporate America at this stage, and I just want to do my own thing and help people I meet and care about. So trustmarketing.us, play on words.
Love it.
Trust us to do your marketing, trustmarketing.us or .us. Yeah, and so that's where they can connect with me to help them with their brand, help them with where they're at. I'll do an audit and give them some feedback. You know, beyond that, it's really just, you know, being open and being just see where the world takes me. I have enough contracts. I told you, you know, looking at setting up a base down in Costa Rica, and I'm excited about that. And, you know, I'm really excited about the stuff we're discussing, really, which is leaning into helping men be the best version of themselves. And you know, I'm excited by that. And yeah, I just ask people to, like, you know, hit me up. You know, I'll send you the link to access to book in a meeting with me. I'll remind me to send you the ebook. I'll send you my ebook, you know, Business Get in the Game. That's designed to be a very short read, like between 1 and 5 hours, depending on how fast you read and how slow you read. But it just helps you kind of like get that mindset right. They're not your customers, they're your supporters, and you want them to be fans.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, beyond that, I just, 30 forever.
Yeah. By the time this, I think we're probably a few weeks out for this launch. So, that brand will be on its way.
Well, that's my wife's baby, and I am just going to be her. I jokingly say I now get to be her secretary.
Nice. I love it.
But yeah, I'm just going to be her corner man. I'm going to be standing behind her, but I really am excited to see her blossom into the kick-ass CEO that I know is inside her. And I'm really excited about that. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, so 30forever.com, trustmarketing.us. And other than that, you know, I'm the only Chad Zani on earth. You'll find me.
Nice. Chad, I really appreciate it. And I appreciate everything you're doing. And I appreciate our new friendship too.
Yeah, me too, Kevin. Thanks, mate.
Yep.
If you're looking to really maximize your life and become the man you were made to be, head over to maxedoutman.com and get your journey started today.